I had a question posed to me a couple weeks ago prior to Easter, and it was, what's the big deal about the resurrection? You know, what if there was no resurrection? Well, you know, as we talk about this morning, I was thinking about that, and through the conversation that I was having with the individual and things like that, I thought I would just sort of capture that conversation a little bit. Thank you, Chris. And here we go. Okay. All right. So, you know, what if the stone was never rolled away? And what if Jesus never overcame death? Well, as we said here today, one, we wouldn't need to be here. You know, I'd certainly come together and eat breakfast with you or something like that. Maybe we'd have some coffee. And somebody had pancakes this morning. Who was telling me that? Somebody's husband, Karen, I think. Somebody made pancakes for her this morning. That was pretty cool. You know, we could certainly do something like that. But what I want to talk about, you know, this morning is the concept of, you know, what if there was no resurrection? Last week, we just celebrated Easter. You know, and the whole resurrection aspect is certainly, you know, it's certainly the game changer. It's certainly the thing that changes Christianity over any other religion, right? So so the resurrection is that game changer. It is the very thing that is on Jesus' resume. If he was, you know, I know this is, I'll go a little weird here. If he was, you know, looking for a job or something, he put it on his resume, you know, he'd have all this stuff, you know, Son of God, led sinless life, performed miracles, born of a virgin, all that type of stuff, right? But the thing that he could put on his resume is, listen, I overcame death. You know, the other folks that, you know, the world tends to follow, the other world religions, you know, those guys are dead. And you look at, you know, historians, both believers and non-believers, and the historicity, if you look at that, of Jesus, there's four facts that, you know, sort of everyone agrees to. You know, the storyline is different. People may or may not believe whether or not, you know, the resurrection actually took place, or whether or not Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, those type of things. But these four things people do, you know, agree on, believers and non-believers alike, from a historical perspective, from a historicity standpoint. Jesus did die. Jesus was killed. He was murdered. He was buried. There is an account of that. Scholars can agree to that. 3 days later, you know, his body went missing. There's a lot of debate on what happened there, whether or not, you know, he was stolen away, or whether or not he actually, you know, overcame death, or if he was even, you know, there to begin with. But the thing is, 3 days later, his body did go missing. There were appearances of Jesus over the course of many days to different types of people, disciples, unbelievers. So, you know, that is recorded. And the other thing, you know, his appearance transformed the followers. And that's where when I was talking, you know, the conversation was about, you know, it started, you'll see here in a second, about this whole concept of game changing and sports and things like that. You know, this is a game changer. His followers were different after they saw the resurrected Christ than when they were before. And, you know, the key of the teaching, you know, became, you know, the resurrection became the central focus of that teaching. So, all right, again, I already talked about this. These other religious leaders, they have, they're dead, but Jesus has on his resume the empty tomb. He is the one that is said to be alive. He is the one that's overcome death. This is going to bug me. There we go. I still go old school, by the way. Last time I did this, I had note cards. All right. Okay. I want to talk about game changers. Game changer changes the way something is done or thought about or made. I looked at the top 50 game changers in history. I listed a few of these up here. Obviously, the wheel is probably something we need to look at. You know, I grabbed just a couple. I grabbed the printing press. Caleb is not here this morning, I don't think, but I was thinking of him on this. That is actually the number one game changer in all of history, the printing press, just so you know that. You've got the Commodore 64 over there in the bottom left. We had one of those. I'm sure there's a few people have that. And so some of you younger folks up there, the top right-hand corner is a cell phone. And I can tell you that I'm sure Gary Slinker looked pretty cool when he had that thing in his back pocket walking around. So I bet Gary could rock that cell phone pretty good. So, all right. And there's a couple other things. You know, we talked about a few sports things. Jackie Robinson, love Jackie Robinson, love the great game of baseball. Opening day this week. Rangers win last night? forget it. We're done. All right. So, you know, this guy changed by his character, his talent, his demeanor. He changed the way that America looked at baseball, and it hasn't been the same ever since. Baseball is definitely better since April 15th, 1947, when he stepped on the field. This is the New York Giants. It pains me to do this, but Lawrence Taylor, just a dominant force in the. I see Josh nod his head. I was thinking of you when I brought him up here. This guy was a disruptive force, an outside linebacker. He changed the game of the NFL. Offensive schemes had to change by the way he played. Offensive line play and calling, all that stuff had to change because of this guy. Thought about throwing Bill Walsh up there. A lot of you guys from the 80s would know him, West Coast offense. So the next one here, this is because I'm sort of geeky about data. I don't know if you've heard this thing, the Internet of Things, the IoT. These are some pretty cool stats. What this is saying, this is the game changer for the next generation. This is the way that we will interact, humans and machines will interact. I'm not talking about Terminator or anything like that. But, you know, the thing is, there's 7 billion people on this planet. 4 billion of those people are going to be connected by 2020. Maybe 4 billion and one, Ronnie, if you jump on Facebook. But thank you. I've been waiting all day to say that. It's going to create $4 trillion in revenue. There's going to be 25 million applications out there connecting people. 25 billion embedded and intelligent systems, which are linking everyone together. This stuff's in work now. And what I'm saying, this is why it's going to change things. The way we do business is going to change. The way we interact with people are going to change. Right now, they can, you know, heart surgeons can remotely diagnose from, you know, halfway around the world, you know, the condition of a patient. So we are going to be connected. Data's going to change things. I had to put this in here because we had the old computer and we had the cell phone and again, my geekdom. So, but stay here a minute. In 2012, there was 2.5 quintillion. I don't even know what quintillion is, but quintillion bytes of data every day created. That's 17 zeros, I think, behind that. But the cool thing is 90% of the world's data was created in the last 2 years. And it's just growing, and it's just growing. So we are definitely going to be connected. Some of us were in Wembley Stadium just a few weeks ago. Wembley Stadium, an awesome place. But if you took iPads and you'd put 337 across the pitch and 414 down the pitch, stacked them up, it'd go 339 miles to hold the amount of data that we have out there. There's 7 billion people in the world, and we have 75 billion loaded iPads or something. You know, I don't know what's going on. Definitely a game changer. But I sort of got off track a little bit. Cody, you should be waving your hand. Jeff, you've got off topic. I'm just not listening to you. All right. Okay. Now we need to get serious. The number one game changer influencing the world's generations, the one thing that's changed business, the one thing that's changed fashion, it's changed music, it's changed culture. What do you think it is? It's okay, you can talk. Could be Jimmy Vaughn. All right. I submit to you, because I'm a child of the 80s, that it is the mullet. So, change the way things go. So, that's Mr. Danny Gladden there. He's our Wednesday night guy. That's Howard Brooks. Sarah, where's Sarah? See it? There's Dad. Scott Smith. Oh, yeah. Who's that guy? Mr. Rice over there. Mr. Joey Rice. Scott is not here, and you know what? I should have done this anyway. That outfit he has on, he has matching shorts with that outfit, too, by the way. If you want to see that picture, I have it on my iPhone. He has a complete thing. All right, we'll get serious here. All right, so we've heard it several times that, you know, Christ died on the cross. He rose again. Without Christ's death and his resurrection, there'd be no salvation. But, you know, the question posed to me, what if there is no what if there is no resurrection? Let's read our passage this morning. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 12 through 20. It says, "Now if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Verse 18, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Again, if there's no resurrection, Jesus is just like Confucius, Muhammad, Buddha, all the other folks we talked about. If there's no resurrection, he lived a wasted life, and his teachings are meaningless. If there's no resurrection, there's no hope for us. There's no eternal hope. If there's no resurrection, this whole Christianity thing is just a farce. It is a dead belief system. It is the greatest joke played on mankind that we can fathom. It is a lie. It is something that we do not need to waste our time or effort doing if there's no resurrection. So here we have the resurrection. If we go back through those verses, we see, you know, there's no foundation. The resurrection is everything that we believe in comes crashing down if Jesus did not overcome death. Okay, so there's no foundation. There's no faith. We're just wasting our time. Everything falls apart. We're wasting our time serving him and worshiping him. It's all based upon Jesus overcoming death. Listen, his sinless life and that alone with no resurrection is still worthless to us. Okay? There's no future. That we have nothing to look to beyond this life. And, you know, I have a good life. I'm blessed. But if there's nothing beyond this life, how depressing is that? And there's no future without the resurrection. So resurrection proves a couple things. One, that Jesus is worthy, and that there is hope for us. As we talk about Jesus being worthy, you know, he's fully man, fully God. He never sinned. Yet he paid the crime that he never committed. He died a sinner's death, but not his sin. It was our sin. Jesus did die. You know, he did have to die for that because he had to pay the wage for sin. For the wages of sin is death. It was required. His death was required. But because he was sinless, you know, death could not hold him. And amen, that's right. Death could not hold him down. And not only... you know, the resurrection proves that he's worthy. It proves that we have hope. This is where our Christian faith hinges. Our Christian faith should hinge on the resurrection. You know, Jimmy did a great job with the Easter message last week. But you know, everything about our faith is about Christ overcoming death. Everything else is great, but it's all about his resurrection. And when I'm talking to the individual that posed this question to me, it's like, you know, I don't know that I could believe that. I don't know that someone could overcome death. Well, if you can't get to a belief there, nothing else matters. So belief in the resurrection, our faith means nothing. The resurrection shows us and proves to us that he conquers sin, he can conquer death, that he is a worthy Savior. And it shows us that he is indeed the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29 says, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All right, again, if there's no resurrection, if it didn't take place, and somewhere in some hillside, in some cave, that stone is still, you know, over the entrance to that grave, there's a carpenter of Nazareth that his body is still in that grave. You know, billions of Christians will have been duped into believing, you know, a lie, believing something that's not the case. So as resurrection, if no resurrection, we need to come to three really important realizations, you know, as believers. One, it's all a pack of lies. It's the greatest hoax in history. Two, what you see is what you get. That means it's this life and nothing else. And I pity the fool What'd you think of when you heard? Who'd you think of? Thank you. Okay. Good. My graphics will be good. All right. Liar, liar. So if Jesus wasn't truly resurrected, I'm not advocating the movie, by the way, but if Jesus wasn't truly resurrected from the dead, the first thing we have to realize is that there's a lot of people need to be labeled as liars. First of all, the question is, Paul a liar? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." This is what's being preached. So would we label Paul a liar? Would we label the other apostles a liar? It says in Acts, "With great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all." That goes back to saying the people changed after the resurrection because they saw the risen Christ. So would we say the apostles are liars? Would you call Jimmy a liar? Would you call me a liar? Would you call Chris a liar? Josh, our life group teachers. We just read 1 Corinthians 15:14 that says, "And if Christ has not been raised and our preaching is in vain, your faith is also in vain." Pretty much it's worthless. So if this whole resurrection thing didn't take place, well, then people have been perpetuating a lie for generations upon generations upon generations. And I'll touch on that again in a second. The second thing is, you know, what you see is pretty much what you get. If the Bible's a lie, Christ was not raised from the dead, then, you know, there's no reason to us to think that there's anything other than what is before us today. It's really just what we can see before us. The resurrection is the promise of, you know, eternity with him. He went to prepare a place for us. If he goes, you'll come back for us. All those type of things. So there is a place. So what you see is what you get. If no resurrection, you know, again, that promise of a future home is not there. Heaven is just a cruel joke. You know, it's something that we'll never attain. And we might as well sort of pack it up and pack it in and go do something else. Well, I guess I said, you know, live it up and enjoy what time you have left. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But, all right. There's Mr. T. I pity the fool. If Christ was never raised from the dead, then, you know, billions of people throughout history have committed their lives to a fantasy. They've endured grief. They've endured persecution. They've endured loss for nothing. So, you know, we'll get back to the verse here in a second, but in that passage it talks about, listen, don't try and convince me of something other than what I believe. If what I believe is not true, you need to pity me. Because I'm sitting here living a life that's based on a lie. So if the resurrection is not true, then you need to actually show pity on me. Because I'm actually putting all my cards in the resurrection. I'm, you know, betting on the resurrection being true. This is why Paul said that if Jesus wasn't truly resurrected, then we are the people most to be pitied. We are of all people most to be pitied. Our faith, as Paul would say, would certainly be worthless. All right. You know, this passage here I just want to talk about again. But, you know the truth is that our Savior has overcome death. The truth is he's no longer in the grave. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then all we're doing here is just worthless. So the question, what if no resurrection, that is not even a question that's in my mind. You know, the resurrection is true to me. The resurrection is true. Everything I believe in is based upon that. If we have hoped in Christ and this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. All right. Told you I'd get out early. Wrap up real quick. Amen. Did I get the amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right. I'm supposed to unsnap my pearl snaps. I'm not going to do that, though. So, all right. All right. So without the resurrection of Jesus Christ and all the Bible authors would be liars. This life would be all that there is. And really, it would be you know, depressing. There would be no hope. But the thing is, if you rest upon this liar thing, liars really make poor martyrs. And, you know, a lot of people have lost their life. And so the question is, if someone was going to crucify you or, you know, shave your flesh off and fillet you for a belief, would you recant that lie? People died holding fast to the conviction of the resurrection, that they had seen the Christ. And, you know, there is no question that some people have died for causes that just aren't true and just aren't right, but that's okay. But these folks here, I just can't believe that this lie would be perpetuated over and over again if that was the case. So it talks about where the conviction of these individuals changed, where they were passionate about what they believed in because they saw the resurrected Christ. It's not because they took his body and hid it away, and that body's been hid away for thousands of years, but yet they actually saw a resurrected Christ. And they were a different people. The great news is that we don't have to wonder about whether or not, the resurrection is true. We can have the same confidence that Peter had in 1 Peter 1:3. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You know, in having the conversation whether or not the resurrection is true or not, don't know where that will go with that particular individual, but we can certainly put our hope in the fact that there is, the stone was rolled away, that there is an empty tomb, that Christ has risen and overcome death. It was pretty cool with the song selections this morning. We didn't actually coordinate that, so you had that picked out before you knew what I was doing, I believe, because we talked about it Wednesday, right? So he is definitely risen. So take that with you this week. What I want you to remember, besides the mullets, is the whole resurrection. It is a game changer in what we're in sort of religious circles. It is what our hope is based on. It is what our faith is based on. If no resurrection, let's go learn golf or something. So, the resurrection is what. What is there? Okay, let's close in prayer. Chris, if you guys want to come up, I know we're going to do a couple things, and I'll turn it over to you.